Hey guys, the Canadian brought an NHL game.
Welcome to episode 15 of One More Podcastle, where we try our best not to drown in our sorrows. My name is Eric Bailey. I've only been drunk a few times, really, and I'm the editor-in-chief of onemorecastle.com. And just so everyone knows, we have a special guest with us for this episode, since Eric Hunter is missing. So, joining us this episode is a retro-beaming personality that I've known for a while in the Twitter sphere, and we're happy to have him. His name is Septicore, and Septicore, do you have anything to add about yourself?
I just want to welcome everyone here. My name is Chris Septicore, the future 2017 World Series of Poker bracelet winner. That'll be an exciting thing that happens in 4 years or so. And I just make a point to thank you, gentlemen, for inviting me onto this podcast.
No problem. Happy to have you. And it's true. He actually does play competitive poker. He's not joking about that. And I think Jason's around too. Jason, are you out there?
I am.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. My name's Jason Lamb. I'm normally your standard Canadian, but this week I'd like to let everyone know I live only an hour away from Chris.
Hey, so you're just the resident co-Canadian then?
Yes.
So
basically I'm outnumbered again. It seems like this happens every time we have a guest on here.
When in doubt, get a Canadian.
It's inevitable. Yeah.
We might have an episode title already. All right. Well, I'm wondering, have you guys been playing any retro games lately?
Do you want me to start?
Sure.
Sure. Well, actually, the funny thing is, it's poker related. Last Friday, I was at my buddy's house playing some poker. But the funny thing is that he collects at stand-up arcade stands, like old classic arcades. And like, he's got, so first game I get knocked out early, and I'm playing his Donkey Kong and his Donkey Kong Jr. and his Galaga as well. So it was a nice little break while waiting for the next game to start.
What's your Donkey Kong high score?
Oh, I barely broke 10,000. I need more practice. I need to play more poker at his house. Sadly, though.
There you go.
But the funny thing is, the second game, I get in there, I'm like, okay, I'll just get knocked out early so I can play more games, and I got second place and won an extra $50. So,
dang it, I hate it when that happens.
I know. Priorities.
Oh, lame.
Other than that, retro-wise, just odds and ends here and there, just playing more current games than anything. So,
I can't blame you there. Card games, you don't have to blow in the slot. You can't really get a scratch on the disc.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there are advantages, I suppose. I'll give you that.
That's it. I'm good for that. So, Jason, how about you?
I've actually been playing a lot of N64 games this week.
Really?
What?
I know.
Get
keep
out.
I know. Keep in mind, they were on my computer.
You're still playing it. That's
yeah, and let me tell you, using an Xbox 360 controller, it's a little weird.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Yeah, those C buttons don't really map properly. But I ended up playing, I played a bit of Star Fox.
Ooh.
Which was great. Haven't played that for years, I'd say. And I was actually playing WrestleMania 2000.
Oh, wow.
Of all games I could choose.
Of all games.
Well, think of it. You're playing N64 and you're not playing No Mercy. Like, that's the good wrestling game.
I preferred WrestleMania 2000 when I was a kid. I don't know why.
What?
Something about it.
You are crazy.
I'm crazy.
You're mad, man. Well, that's the bottom line, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, other than that, yeah, that's so a lot of N64. It's been a lot of fun. Yeah. Didn't realize I missed the N64 so much.
It's my favorite console. Has the best games.
I think that's the only console I don't have hooked up to my television. I really need to find the cords for that. Oh, like I've got every other retro console hooked up to my TV except the N64.
your poor, neglected Nintendo 64. How dare you, Septicore? How dare you?
It's even looking at me right now with its eyes. It's four eyes, just with its sad four eyes. The controller's hooked up anywhere.
I can relate. I'm a sad four eyed guy myself. And on that note, I actually received from my mother a fun retro game for Christmas.
That's a good mother right there.
Oh, yeah. She got me the Wii port of House of the Dead 2 and 3.
Really?
Yeah, so for those who don't know, House of the Dead 2 and House of the Dead 3 are both classic arcade games, kind of like Time Cop, the rail shooter, and you held up the giant plastic gun and you shot at the screen. Well, of course, the Wii console is the natural transition for those kind of games, so it's been a lot of fun, and believe it or not, even my wife says she's tempted to play with me, because there's a co-op mode, and all you have to do is, you know, aim and shoot. What's more fun than that?
So it's a rail shooter, pretty much.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Oh, those are always fun, especially House of the Dead ones. I find that those are the more fun ones. Shooting zombies.
Exactly. Shooting zombies in the face never gets tiring, ever.
No,
I mean, you'd have to play for weeks straight before you were like, oh, this isn't fun anymore. And we all know that Hunter does not like rail shooters.
He does not.
So I'd just like to throw it out there a couple more times. I have a rail shooter. I play a rail shooter. I enjoy the rail shooter, and I'll play that rail shooter again real soon.
Rail shooter.
Nothing Hunter can do about it.
I can't defend it. He's not here.
Don't come.
Speaking of Hunter, we got a mysterious quote unquote listener email this week.
Ew.
So if it's okay with you guys, I think we're just going to go ahead and use this listener email as our discussion question.
Sounds good.
I have no objections.
Excellent. The question goes like this. Hey there, podcasters. This is Johnny on the Spot, broadcasting from the wild wilderness of West Virginia. My question is, what is the most underrated secondary character of retro gaming?
Most underrated secondary character.
Yeah, not the main character, not the protagonist, but some kind of sidekick or assistant or second fiddle in the orchestra that is retro gaming.
Did you want to start, Jason? Or?
Sure.
Go ahead.
I've actually got two characters in mind. They're somewhat similar. They're not necessarily good guys, but I'm going to have to go with Metal Sonic and Metalhead, the robot variant of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Interesting.
Huh.
I don't know why, but for some reason, as soon as you take a character and turn it into a robot, it automatically turns 100 times cooler for me. That's really my only justification.
So what about like Metal Tails or Metal Slippy? Would that make him 100% cooler, even though it's still Slippy from Star Fox?
It would make him tolerable.
it's a big
you
robot.
Could blow him up, and then you could put him back together when you've kind of calmed down from him being annoying.
But you still got a rig robot frog begging you for help. That's the big problem I have with that logic.
And also, my problem is, I think, Jason, if I understand your theory correctly, you think Metal Mario is 100 times cooler than any other Mario.
I do.
So, like, Suit Mario, Karibo Shoe Mario?
Yeah, I'll go for that. I'll go with Metal Mario. Yeah, he first appeared in Super Smash Brothers.
No, there was a Metal Mario in Mario 64.
Yeah.
That was its invincibility. You turn metal.
Well, then, I'm just wrong.
You just need to play that Nintendo 64 some more.
I do. I'm still going with Metal Mario's cooler than normal Mario.
But 100 times cooler? Like, I just don't know if you're understanding how big of a number that is. I mean, 100 times?
You're overestimating how cool I think Mario is to start.
Okay,
I guess so.
Just so we get the gauge going on this, if a metal thing is 100 times better than, let's say, a regular thing, so in terms of, like, Tanuki Suit Mario, how much times more awesome is that than regular Mario, so that we can get a little gauge going?
Ooh, that's... Let me see. Tanuki Suit Mario. You know what? Are we going classic Tanuki suit, where he's just got the tail, or where he's got the full actual suit?
Let's say the Super Mario Brothers 3 one, where he's the Tanuki suit that turns into the rock.
Turns into the rock.
Yeah.
Well, the rock is close to metal, because it's a hard type of substance. So I'm going to say it's about 20 times cooler, Metal Mario, than Tanuki suit Mario.
Okay, I got one more question.
All right.
Do you think Mecha Godzilla is
better?
I didn't understand that question. Wow. Okay.
It's like you're taking the awesomeness of a giant
metal
nuclear dinosaur and giving him rocket hands and laser eyes.
That's and awesome. Rocket pants, probably.
And rocket pants. Never forget the rocket pants.
Never forget
the rock.
R.I.P. Rocket pants. Never forget.
It must resurrect soon.
Yeah, so yeah, I'd say Mechagodzilla's the best.
All right.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Thank you. I hope that satisfied our listener.
Yeah.
Yeah. Septicore, what do you think?
Well, it's a tough one. So here's a follow-up question. Would the statues in Metroid count, like the one that hold the items, as
yes.
secondary character? Because
yes.
they're just, they don't talk, they don't say anything, they're not really sidekicks per se, but they're there as secondary characters to benefit, same as every which way, by saying, no, you don't get this morph ball upgrade, that's not for you, that's for the person that's going to beat the living hell out of you. So that was the rational thinking I had on that. The one other answer I had in terms of it, as a great secondary character, and this is another one of those a little bit off the cuff, is the assistant guy from SimCity for the Super Nintendo. Because if you think about it, that's the guy that comes out and says, you know, he's your advisor. He's a political advisor. And he's
Dr. Wright.
Yeah, that's it. That's the guy. Yeah. And he doesn't get a lot of respect because some people that play SimCity just ignore the hell out of him. And like, I don't care. I'm making the city its way I want to just so I can have it bulldozed by non-mech Godzilla. And... But I think what it is if you listen to him, he's actually got some good advice to help you build a better city. So that's the way that was my thought pattern behind it when you talk about secondary characters.
Those are two very different characters, but I totally respect your choices. I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very, very different characters. I just want to emphasize that.
Yeah. Oh, of course. One's a statue that does nothing except hold the item for you, and the other one doesn't shut up. So.
Yeah, and the statues are just so ominous and cool.
Well, that's exactly why I wanted to mention them, because they are cool, and they serve such a great purpose. They're guarding that item for Samus.
They truly serve to enhance the Metroid atmosphere.
Exactly.
And they're probably made out of metal, too.
Well, there's the one in Super Metroid that just comes alive to, you know, at least test your strength.
Spoiler alert.
Well, by now, you know.
Yeah, it's yeah, the statute of limitations is over, I think. Well, would you guys believe that I picked a character that was made out of metal?
Oh, which character?
Floyd from Jet Force Gemini.
Ooh.
Are either of you familiar with Floyd?
I haven't played Jet Force Gemini in such a long time, but I do recognize the character.
Oh, I love the game. And throughout the game, you have to find a few parts of Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
Floyd is a hovering robot, and the fantastic thing about him is that once you have him assembled, then Jet Force Gemini becomes a two-player co-op game, and the second player controls Floyd, and all the second player can do is aim at things and shoot them.
Really?
Yeah, Floyd is completely invincible, and it's just a lot of fun. It's if you play it just alone, then it's like you're fixing your little robot friend, and that has its value of its own. But it's interesting that JetForce Gemini makes you find these robot parts in order to activate a co-op feature. I always found that interesting and thought it was a clever way to incorporate two-player action in a third-person shooter without having to do like a split screen or any awkward kind of control scheme or anything like that.
Yeah. I found the description of Floyd, where you're saying that you have to find the parts, and then once you build the parts, you've got that secondary character that's invincible. It reminds me of, and stop me if I'm wrong, Beat from Mega Man like 5, where you have to find all the letters that spell it out, and once you get it, you've got that part that just beats the living heck out of everything.
That is a fantastic comparison. Yeah, mm-hmm. Perfect.
Except you can't, except a second player can't control Beat.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
So that is a good advanced technology then, to have a invincible character to control as a second player.
Yeah, and you can just blast away infinite ammo and everything. It's great.
Yeah.
Another game for Jason to play on his
Man 64 kick.
His little emulator.
Say that again?
Sorry?
What did you say that again?
Oh, I was just saying something to play on your N64, the little emulator.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, not even real.
I know. I don't have one.
Well, you gotta get one.
I know.
Yeah, you gotta get one. You gotta be authentic.
You know what? I actually have an adapter that you can plug N64 controller in, and that converts the signal to USB.
Huh.
So once I get the controllers, it'll be almost the same.
Oh, yeah, just the same. Come on. Do you know how many flea markets there are in Toronto? Come on. You know this.
I know.
How much?
I have to head to Toronto, and the traffic's brutal, and...
Canadian traffic, I tell you.
Whoa, okay. Here, I'll give an example. The drive into Toronto has been rated worse than the drive into L.A.
Yes.
It's the worst highway in the world.
I actually wasn't meaning to mock you. I was more trying to make fun of myself because I really can't relate at all. I'm just completely unfamiliar.
Although the big difference between a Canadian traffic jam and an American traffic jam is Canadian traffic jams have a lot more apologies. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, if I've learned anything from cross-country Canada, at least your hitchhikers are so dangerous, too.
They are.
What if they were metal hitchhikers?
I'd be picking them up every day.
Yeah, but they could be armed with, like, arm lasers or something like that. You want to go and take that chance?
It'd be dangerous, but it'd be worth it.
Dangerous robot hitchhikers.
Yeah.
That sounds like a movie that needs to be made.
Yes, it does.
I disagree. That movie does not need to be made. You are crazy.
I'd watch
crazy
it.
Like a fox.
Yes, that's crazy like a star fox. That was a terrible joke. I apologize. Well, thank you, Mr. Johnny on the Spot, a.k.a. possibly also Eric Hunter, for your fantastic discussion question. Just a reminder to listeners, you can email us at podcast@onemorecastle.com. And obviously, we actually read the emails, and you can actually be featured with your question on air. In fact, this was the first week where we had multiple emails, and the mysterious person out there who also asked a good question, don't worry, we will get to you next week.
Ooh,
intrigued. Yep. Tension is thick on the War Podcastle. Speaking of tension,
never mind. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. By all means, say it.
I was going to say, that means I'm going to have to come back next week to find out this intriguing question. Yeah, I may have to listen. Well, I do that anyway, so that goes without saying.
Oh, thanks, Septicor. We appreciate it.
Anytime. Now all I got to do is just help advertise. So I got to start retweeting.
Oh, man, did you hear that, Jason? He's going to start promoting us, too.
Nice. Oh, man.
Sweet!
What I'll do is I'll get the logo and get it embroidered on a hat. And then next time I go to like one of those big poker games, maybe even televised, I'll wear it just for you guys.
Oh, we may have to replace Hunter.
Man, is that Hunter? Your position is not safe. It's being threatened right now. Threatening Canadians.
Over a hat.
Speaking of threatening Canadians, let's take a musical break.
Hey.
We'll be right back.
That was Forget About the Storm by Misfit Bite. Some resonant chiptune-y effect madness for you. But now, we all know it's the time you've really been waiting for. The Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For those of you who don't know or haven't listened in yet or may have forgotten, basically, each of us has secretly chosen a retro game. We're each going to introduce our game, and then we're going to argue about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the listener, get to vote for your favorite game on the podcast page. And that's the Retro Showdown. I'm excited to have Skeptikor participate in his first one. And
I'm so excited,
Jason is always
nervous.
So excited he's nervous. That's exactly where I want you. Exactly where I want you.
I'm nervous now. Oh.
Well, the good news is Jason is still our official timekeeper. He's going to put 2 minutes on the clock. I think for this episode, we'll go me, then Jason, then Skeptikor. How's that?
I'm good with that.
Yeah, sounds good. Mix it up.
Excellent. Then, Jason, I'm ready when you are.
All right. You may begin.
All right. For this episode, for this Retro Showdown, I'm reaching back to 1999. And I didn't know we would be talking about this console so much, but I'm kind of glad I picked this game now because it's a Nintendo 64 title. It's called Army Men, Sarge's Heroes. This is a third-person shooter developed by 3DO, who also did the Battle Tank series, and a game called Fatty Bear's Birthday Surprise. And in the game, Army Men takes place in two worlds. There's one world in which the Army Men actually seem to inhabit their own countries, and they have their own boot camp and their own appropriately sized objects. But the evil forces of the tan Army Men, as opposed to the heroic green Army Men, have discovered portals into the real world, where they've discovered these weird weapons of mass destruction, such as a magnifying glass and objects like that. You'll find yourself taking part in some levels that are like traditional military shooters, and other levels that might be a giant bathtub, for instance. But it's a wonderful game because there's multiple weapons, there's decently fast-paced action. As I said, it's a third-person military-themed shooter, but it's whimsical enough because you're controlling army men. How fun is that? And I even like just going around the boot camp portion and trying out the weapons, like the flamethrower, where you can actually melt enemy forces, and even going through the minefields with the minesweeper, lest you get blown up. For those of you who like multiplayer portions, there is a combat mode where up to four people can play and shoot each other. Overall, it's just a great game and worth a try if you never have. Army Men, Sarge's Heroes.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Intriguing.
All right, I guess I'll start.
Go ahead.
Funny that Bailey would bring up both the N64 and 1999, because my choice also fits within those categories. Now, if you remember back to 1999, many of us were anticipating the next Star Wars movie, Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace. While the movie may have been a horrible, horrible disappointment, there's one good thing that came out of it, and that was Star Wars Episode I Racer for the N64, allowing you to participate in the, some would say, best scene of the movie, the pod races. You could go through a tournament mode, free race, time attack, two-player, and even multiplayer, which supported up to 8 players. The game currently holds the record for the best-selling sci-fi racing game, having outsold both Wipeout and F-Zero. Star Wars Episode I Racer is not only one of the best sci-fi racing games of all time, it truly is an N64 classic. All right, Chris, are you ready to begin?
You may fire ready.
You may begin.
Well, I did choose N64 and I didn't choose 1999. I'm going a little bit further. With the Christmas season upon us and winter about to commence and the NHL season becoming inevitably canceled, fans of the good old hockey game have a hard time to find a way to watch the games and cheer for their team. So they turn to their video game consoles, but not going to NHL licenses because, let's face it, NHL is not participating, so we are not in return. So it seems appropriate that my selection for the Retro Showdown be Blades of Steel for the NES. This classic arcade port from Konami features some fast-paced action that would satisfy any hockey fans or sports game enthusiasts alike. Even if you don't know a lot of hockey, there's no stats or anything like that to worry about. Just plug it in and have fun. Players can choose between 8 cities and play in either a single-game exhibition or a 3-game tournament with 3 different difficulty settings. Also appearing in the game are penalty shots and fighting mechanics that are easy to learn and fun to beat on other people. Best of all, if you win the fight, the other guy gets the penalty box. You don't get that anywhere else. With great graphics and iconic digitized voices included, be sure to quench your desire for hockey. Well, at least until the World Junior Championships are broadcasted. Bracket, go Team Canada, in bracket. So the choice is pretty obvious. Get your shoulder pads on and stick on the ice for Blades of Steel.
All right.
Blades of Steel.
Hey, guys, the Canadian brought an NHL game.
Hey, at least my game came with a theme of, like, winter and Christmas and all that. I mean, what do I got? Pod racing and Army Men?
You never get Army Men for Christmas?
I did not get Army Men for Christmas.
Well, then you never had a great Christmas, because it's one of the best toys you can get for Christmas.
Oh, no. I had more fun with the Barrel of Monkeys than Army Men. Army Men, you just destroy with magnifying glass, you get bored, you go inside, you play some video games.
There's Star Wars Pod Racer Christmas ornaments. That's close enough, right?
There's not enough midichlorians in the world to justify pod racing. I had to throw in that reference somewhere.
I love it. Hey, Jason, I'm curious. I have an honest question.
All right.
I genuinely don't remember. Is Star Wars Episode I Racer an expansion pack game?
It is. You could use the N64 memory expansion pack, and it added additional textures during in-game play.
Of course, optional?
It was optional.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, they had a game release with it bundled in.
So I could buy the game separate, or I'd have to buy it in a group.
You could do either. The choice was yours.
I could either play without the expansion pack and it would be ugly, or I could play with the expansion pack and it would have frame rate issues, if I recall.
Not frame rate issues. It simply wouldn't have as many textures. The game would still be pretty by N64 standards. But wouldn't be pretty by expansion pack standards.
No, I mean, I understand that. But I'm saying, if even with the expansion pack, I recall adding all those textures, the 64 still couldn't handle them all.
Oh, it could.
No way.
The big problem I have with it is, so you have the choice of having really crappy graphics or paying the extra money for the better graphics. I mean, that's like saying, oh, I want to buy this version because it doesn't have advertising.
Well, we know that Jason is a fan of taxes.
Taxes.
The thing to taxing the player he can come up with.
What can I say?
Tax, if you will.
I mean, of all the driving games that are possible, like Pod Racing.
Pod Racer. It was brilliant.
You know, it
gave you the option of using two N64 controllers in tandem to control the separate engine modules of your pod racer. You can't say that about any other game.
But I think dual analog, I think racing games, right? Dual analog racing, right? That's what I think, right, guys? Right?
Of course.
Dual analog racing, of course. Duh.
If I want to use two controllers on one game, it better be like Smash TV or something, not pod racing. I'm sorry, I can't get over that. Pod racing.
Pod racing. It was brilliant.
Did you just mention Smash TV?
Yes.
You know, Smash TV is an interesting concept. It's an overhead game where you control your little characters and you're fighting other characters, right?
Absolutely.
It almost sounds like a much better version of Blades of Steel.
Oh, you're going there, huh?
Oh, I'm going there.
There's a big difference, though. With Smash TV, you're just shooting guns willy-nilly. Blades of Steel, you're playing hockey. The best thing about Blade of Steel, especially by comparison to Smash TV, is you can actually bring one or more friends over to play Blades of Steel. Smash TV, it's one player only, and Blades of Steel is such a fun game.
Blades of Steel is a watered down hockey game with watered down fighting mechanics, just used as an advertisement for other games.
Well, if you think about it from another perspective, remember ice hockey? There was no fighting on that. All of a sudden, you just every character would just pile on and one person would get a penalty for no random reason. Here, you're earning that penalty by actually getting into that fight mechanic. And hey, it may be a selling point, but it's a selling point that actually works. Because especially with other fighting games and hockey, it's just you're just bashing buttons in and just hoping for the best. And at least there's a little more strategy in Blades of Steel. You can punch in the face or punch in the stomach, or you can start blocking and timing it perfectly.
If I want strategy in my hockey game, I'll play ice hockey where I can choose the physical size of the characters, or I'll play pro sport hockey, which actually had NHL rosters.
We're trying to avoid the NHL roster on the sole purpose of, hey, they're on lockout. There is no NHL.
Yeah, but you're still playing as NHL teams. You have Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal, Edmonton, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and even Minnesota.
Yes, but actually, you're right on that. But the key thing is that it's not the actual Los Angeles Kings or the Minnesota North Stars or my beloved Toronto Maple Leafs or the Habs. Habs suck. The end. That's all I got to say about that.
All right, you did not, Bailey. You're about to become witness to a great Canadian rivalry.
Their logo is a toilet seat, for God's sake.
Okay, here's the thing. There's a lot of people in the Toronto area who love the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're a hockey team. They haven't won a cup since
1967.
Whatever. The whole thing is, a lot of their fans, they're just bandwagoners. They don't really like the team. They only like the team when they're doing somewhat well, and as soon as they suck, which they do every year, their fans just leave and forget about them. Forget about them like this game is forgettable.
Jason.
How can Blades of Steel be forgettable? Are you kidding me? Especially
it doesn't even have proper. Okay, you're going on about penalties. It doesn't even have correct penalties.
The voices alone make it iconic. Come on, the digitized voices alone make the game iconic. It is far from forgettable.
Oh come on, it doesn't even have proper rules. Has no offside rules.
It has icing.
Oh yeah, it has icing. Has no offside rules. It doesn't even have a 5-minute penalty. For fighting, it's 2 minutes for the loser.
That's like saying NBA Jam is not a good basketball game because there's no penalties or free throws there, right? Blades of Steel is basically an arcade style game. So it's an arcade port. So it's almost the equivalent of putting a quarter in and challenging your friend. I mean, it's a great party game. It's really better by comparison to pod racing.
Jason, I actually have two things to say to you.
All right.
Thing number one, if I understand the rules that you explained earlier, if a game is called Blades of Steel, in other words, Blades of Metal, shouldn't you like Septicore's game 100 times more than your own?
No, you see, Blades are very... No, he doesn't. Blades are very small in their construction. You see, a pod racer is made completely of metals, various types, and it's much larger than that single blade.
Okay, well, let me ask you this then, Jason. You see, I am a dumb American. When I sit here and I take in a Canadian history lesson and the Toronto Maple Leafs hockey team, you were trying to explain to me the concept of a bandwagon fan. You said that there's lots of people who don't really like the Toronto Maple Leafs hockey team. They just kind of pretend to because it's trendy or there's a tradition behind it or their friends do it. Am I right so far?
Yeah, so far I'd say you're somewhat right. I know where you're going with this, but I'll agree anyway.
Now, in order to understand this metaphor, it's kind of like the example, just so that I can understand, it's kind of like you claiming that you like the Nintendo 64 so much, even though you've admitted that you're just playing it over an emulator.
I did own an N64. I did own Star Wars Episode One Racer. It, unfortunately, was sold to pay for a GameCube.
I'm going to go even further on Eric's point here for a second there, but anyway, you're talking about Star Wars fans that'll love anything Star Wars part and parcel no matter what, and then they get Episode One, which is not a very good movie, and then they get a subject of themselves to pod racing, and they'll leave the theater disappointed, thinking this is a bad movie, and then next year they'll defend it, saying it was a Star Wars movie. I love Star Wars movies.
I think there are very little people who defend Episode One, and I did begin with saying that the movie was extremely terrible.
More like excrementally terrible.
It was excrementally terrible. It was
so. So when you accuse me of being, well, not accused, but when you say that I'm a bandwagon jumper for being a Leafs fan, which I've been a lot of Leafs fan for a long time through thick and thin, you're talking about Star Wars, and you're saying you're people who are the bandwagon jumpers on Star Wars who will defend the Star Wars through thick and thin, even when it's as crappy as, let's say, pod racing.
No. I'm not defending Star Wars thick and thin. I'll admit George Lucas is an idiot. I'll admit that. Three of the six movies were terrible. And of the original three movies, only one was really that good.
But just like when I say that Brian Burke is a doofus, who's the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, FYI, I will, whenever the Leafs suck, I will be the first person to say, yes, they suck, and here's the reasons why, because I want to see them improve as a team. When it comes to Star Wars, it's kind of hard to do that because the movies are already made, and they're not going to improve much further because now they're just getting some money so they can make an N64 game to sell and to people who like pod racing for some reason.
God, pod racing was good. Who doesn't love playing as Odie Mandrell?
Who?
Hey, Septicore.
Yep.
Would you like to play a game?
Let's play a game.
I think we can double team Jason here. Let's play a game called What Nintendo 64 Racing Game Would I Rather Play Than Episode 1 Racer? I'll go first, and we'll go back and forth and see how many Nintendo 64 racing games we can name that we would rather play than Episode 1 Racer. Okay? You got it?
Go for it.
Okay, I'll go first. I would rather play Wave Race 64.
I would rather play F-Zero X.
Oh, good one. I would rather play Diddy Kong Racing.
I'd rather play Mario Kart 64.
Oh, excellent choice. You know, I would even rather play Excitebike 64. That was a pretty solid game.
God. I'll give you that one. I would rather play Cruisin' USA.
Oh, that's an excellent series there. And speaking of that series, I would rather play Beetle Adventure Racing. Did you ever play that one? It's pretty good.
I don't think I have. I got to look for that one.
Yeah, I recommend it. It's one of those games you wouldn't think it's really good, but it's really solid.
Mm-hmm. I would rather play Carmageddon. I think that was on
the list. That's a classic. Carmageddon.
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Absolutely.
You know, some people claim that it's just a ripoff of F-Zero, but I would rather play Wipeout 64. It's a really fast-paced racer.
Absolutely. Do you think that Jason's getting the point on this one?
You know, I think he is. I think I could literally name like 8 or 9 Nintendo 64 racing games that I would rather play than Episode 1 Racer.
You know what? These points would be valid if you didn't bring a crappy arcade hockey game and Army Men, Sarge's Heroes.
Oh, so fun. So fun.
So fun,
how
yes.
How is this so much fun? First of all, the only thing I remember about this game is the cover where it's like a bunch of green guys and one normal-looking girl in a green bikini. Do you remember the cover after this? Is this the same one I'm thinking of?
Oh, you are. I'm looking at it now.
Yeah. So,
what do you guys have against green people?
Oh, I don't have anything against green people. I'm just looking at the Smurfette-style normal girl that's hanging around these green army men. That alone just blows my mind. But it's army men. I mean, it just seems, just the concept alone just sounds dull. That you're just playing Armin.
So, Septicore, it's kind of offending me that you regard the female character in somewhat of a lesser light. She actually gets kidnapped in the game and you have to rescue her. And you sound like you have no sympathy for her plight whatsoever. You should be ashamed of yourself.
She says, I have sympathy for any damsel in distress. Don't get me wrong on that. But it just seems like they just put shoehorn object in there so that they can say, well, there's a woman in there. Hey, there's a woman. Now you got to go rescue her. You know?
Can you explain to me, why exactly are you fighting the British in the game?
You're not fighting the British. You're fighting the tan.
Yes, the tan, which are British troops.
Are they really?
They are.
British, if you go with the traditional colors of army men, German soldiers are molded in gray. Japanese enemies are molded in yellow. French are Horizon Blue, British a Tanner Khaki, and the Russians, I believe, are Red.
All right, Jason, I will bite on your bait and
so
answer
your
question.
So why are you fighting the British?
Because the British are using weapons of mass destruction and must be stopped.
What kind of weapon?
Well, I mentioned the magnifying glass. They went through a whole nother dimension to get a weapon that fires this giant energy ray that instantly melts anyone in its path. Then they found these giant M80 firecracker explosives that are just the biggest bombs that have ever existed in Army Men World. And not only that, but they've been seen pushing green Army Men prisoners into an enormous garbage disposal. Those poor guys are getting sliced to bits. That's why the British must be stopped.
Every time I keep thinking about these Army Men evading and attacking each other, I'm just waiting for Buzz Lightyear to come in and stop the fight altogether. Like, that would be. But that's all I can think of in this. You said this was like a third-person game. So do you control multiple characters in this thing, or is it just like one or two guys that you just go and try to beat one other guy personally? Like, what kind of a layout is it? Is it like mission style?
It is mission style. Yep, it's mission by mission, mm-hmm. and you control one guy, and you're up against all the enemy forces, and there's over a dozen different missions, and there's password codes in case you want to get to any of them.
Still using a password code system.
It's N64 and it's using passcodes.
What is this?
It's great. That's what it is.
I love remembering passcodes.
Of course,
that was my favorite thing to do.
Yeah,
you could write them down and never have to remember them ever again. Just write it down.
I always wanted to write them down.
Nothing is more thrilling than putting in a passcode using a controller instead of a keyboard, especially on an N64 with that controller. I mean, seriously.
Well, if you really want to use a save game, you can use the controller pack. The controller pack accessory, if you really want to.
Wait. To get a feature in the game, you have to buy an expensive accessory? Isn't that the same argument you used against me?
Well, the difference is, I personally am okay with using a password. I don't mind using a password.
I don't see
on an N64 game, though? Come on.
Like, it's the N64.
There's passwords that unlock cheats.
There's a reason they had a cartridge, so you could save data to the cartridge.
They figured that out during N64 or Super Nintendo times. Come on.
Yeah. I'd also like to bring up, you claim that you're trying to stop the Tan Army from getting the weapon of mass destruction, which is the magnifying glass. But you failed to mention that you as the Green Army are actually trying to get it for yourself.
Well,
so really, you are trying to become the monster.
I think, seriously, we need to deter from this conversation before it turns into an actual political conversation. But, yeah, you got to...
Army man.
If the objective is to destroy the weapons of mass destruction, then we've got something to decide. Now we're talking more political in terms of, well, we want to keep these for ourselves so that we can use the weapons of mass destruction.
Well, I think you guys are familiar with the idea that in a world without weapons, the guy with the 2x4 is going to rule. Yeah? Yeah?
Typical American.
It's
you and your guns.
It's true, though. It's the theory of escalation. If the British are going to get a magnifying glass, then we need to get ourselves a RC car that can run it over or something.
So that would be interesting, though. That would be more entertaining. Wars with RC cars. I mean, it'd be a lot more entertaining than wars with, let's say, Green Army men.
Yeah.
They're one and the same. It's the same world. The same world that has the RC car has the Green Army men.
If you convince me that there's a war involving micro machines, then we can talk. But it's Army men.
All of the vehicles used in Army men could be considered a micro machine.
But did they have the micro machines logos and official micro machines?
Official micro machines. Well,
they don't come with the fast talking guy from the old these commercials. So, you know.
Oh, I remember that guy. That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's a good memory.
The only thing I've got with Army Men, it sounds more like it should be like a top-down RTS. Like, when you're saying it's a third person and you're controlling one character and doing missions and all that, that does not sound like Army Men. That's the biggest gripe I have based on the description. It should be a top-down
It should. It's Army Men. It should be strategic.
You should be controlling more than one arm.
It's funny you guys mention that, because the developers considered making it a top-down game, but then one of the staff members was like, well, yeah, but Blades of Steel was so awful. We can't bear to do a top-down game.
I know.
You have no evidence to say that he actually said
that. You know what I meant?
He's probably a football player or a football fan.
You know what this decision reminds me of? Reminds me of this company's other great decision, the 3DO console. This game was developed by 3DO.
They have quite the legacy.
Quite the legacy.
I wouldn't use the word legacy. I'd probably...
Another great success for 3DO.
Great success.
I wouldn't use the word success, really. it's 3DO, for crying out loud.
Please do cry out loud. Shout from the rooftops the greatness of 3DO.
Okay, when I shout from the rooftops for 3DO, usually the question is, who the hell has a 3DO? And especially back then, the answer was a dead silence. It's a 3DO. No one could afford that.
I think anyone wanted it.
No, he didn't.
Kind of like a Pod Racer.
Oh, I'd like to say Pod Racer outsold both Wipeout and F-Zero. So a lot of people wanted it.
Okay, there's one other question I'm going to ask about this pod racing. Is Jar Jar in it?
Jar Jar? No, he's not.
Okay, that's probably the only redeeming quality in that game, then. That's probably your only talking point at this point. This game is good because it doesn't have Jar Jar Binks.
It's great. That's... You don't even have to play as Anakin if you want. You can play as someone else and destroy him.
Well, that's there. But at least you don't have the option for Jar Jar. That's my point.
Now, Septicore, do you notice how in my game and in Jason's game, the characters actually have names? Did you notice that?
They have
a pretty cool feature. You should try it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got Sarge, and you got all the soldiers and Bravo Company, like Riff and Hale. And the girl you mentioned.
Those are ranks. Those are ranks.
Her name is Vicky. You know, they all got names.
So if you got your forwards, you got your defense, you got your goaltender.
Those aren't names.
Oh, those aren't names.
Oh, come on. I can be a forward.
Exactly. And if you want to, you know, use that NHL, you know, link, you could name it your own players. Like, oh my God, Bianca is passing it to Phil Kessel. Yeah, scores. You know, you can make it up as you go along.
Make
and that's
it up
the beauty
as you
behind
go.
It. Absolutely.
If I wanted to make it up as I went, I would just sit in the corner of my room throwing paper airplanes back and forth and pretend like I was playing Galaga.
Sounds more entertaining.
It really does. At least when it comes down to that, it's better than just having a character named Sarge. I mean, how creative is that?
That's true. He's no Fud Sang or Eb Endicott, like in my game.
Or Gasgano. He was always my favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, your game sucks, but it was my favorite. Oh. But seriously, Blades of Steel, after the first period, you would play another Konami game. Like, it was an in-game advertisement for,
absolutely.
I think it was...
During secondary mission is when you play that Gradius game.
And, yeah, Gradius, that's right.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it would have advertising for Contra and for Jackal. I mean, it's Konami.
Yeah,
of course,
so
they're
shameless.
I wouldn't say shameless.
That's
unethical. How many sports games do you want to play that don't have endgame advertising to begin with? It's a trailblazer at that point.
A trailblazer.
It's not like they're advertising for, you know, Michelin tires or, you know, Pepsi Cola. They're advertising their own product. Of course they're going to do that. And besides, it's not every single game that does it. There's another version of the second intermission where you've got the panda shooting the puck in the net. I mean, that's pretty awesome. It's a panda bear shooting a puck into the net.
Wow, my mind is just blown right now. A panda? Did you
Absolutely.
Say a panda?
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Well, you know
that
what?
That totally redeems the game right there.
Absolutely.
What's the point of even trying to argue against that? A panda bear. I mean...
Oh, you know what? Let's not even have the poll. Let's just give it to him this week. He's got a panda.
Yes. I stand by it. But at least there's a panda playing a hockey stick. That's more creative than, let's say, an army man or some guy I can't pronounce doing pod racing.
Neva Key?
What?
Slide Paramita?
Wasn't he the guy
Tinto Pagalis?
That sounds like baby talk. It doesn't sound like actual names.
Bullseye Navoir?
Jason, Jason, stop. You're offending all the Star Wars fans who know how those names are actually pronounced. I'm actually recommending that you stop right now before you alienate more listeners.
Well, at least you pronounce Anakin Skywalker right. You got to give him that at least.
Anakin
Skywalker.
Skywalker. He's German.
Ah, yes.
Guys, seriously, my brain is busted from that panda reference. So let's move on to closing arguments. Jason, why should anyone vote for Episode 1 Racer?
You should vote for Episode 1 Racer because it really is a solid sci-fi racing game. Even if you strip away the Star Wars license, it still provides a well-thought-out and well-developed racing experience that anyone should be a fan of.
All right, and Septicore, why should anyone vote for Blades of Steel?
They should vote for Blades of Steel because it is a well-made hockey experience that is fun for everyone and fun for more than just one player. Plus, it has a panda shooting a hockey puck. You cannot go wrong with a panda shooting a hockey puck.
Well, it's tough to argue with that, but I'm going to try. You should vote for Army Men on Nintendo 64 because it has an original storyline, a clever hook of using Army Men as the characters. It's a fun third-person shooter, and it's part of the larger legacy of Army Men games with some standout titles on the Game Boy Color, Nintendo GameCube, PlayStation, and other consoles. Also, just so everyone knows, our winner from 2 weeks ago, who won Episode 13... was Rock and Roll Racing, which was Hunter's pick. And he's not even here to gloat about it.
Yeah, I'll gloat on his behalf. That would have been my pick as well. I actually voted for that. So I will accept this honor on his behalf, and I want to thank all the little people on this one.
Excellent. It beat Clue Clue Land and Cross Country Canada. And in fact, it had more votes than both of those games combined. I hate to admit it, but I have to throw that out there. And listeners, just say no. Oh, what? What's up?
Sorry, I just noticed Cross Country Canada had more votes than Clue Clue Land.
Thanks, Jake.
You gotta feel bad for that one, Eric. You gotta feel bad for that one.
Well, hopefully the Army Men can redeem my choice from 2 weeks ago. We'll see about that. We got some shout-outs in order here. Thank you to Ben Landis for letting us use your intro and outro track. Thank you to the interlude artist, which was Misfit Bite with Forget About the Storm. You can download that track on the podcast page. Also, thank you to Johnny on the Spot, who may or may not also be Eric Hunter, for submitting a listener email discussion question. And Jason, do you have anyone you want to shout out?
You can follow me on my Twitter, at Jason Lam. Other than that, I'd like to give a shout out to... I got nothing.
All right, Septicore, how about you? Any shout outs tonight or any social media you want to drop?
First and foremost, before my shout out, I want to thank you both for allowing me into this. I had a lot of fun. I hope I have fulfilled my duty as guest host.
You did a fantastic job.
Thank you. Anyone wants to follow me on Twitter, it's easy. It's Septicore, SEPTICOR. And you can also check out my website, currently on Titus. We'll be coming back on January with a couple of good articles. It'll be Septicore.com. And for a random Twitter shout-out, let's do it to one of my good, close personal friends, Mr. Comrade Obvious. KOMMRADEOBVIOUS. My good friend Puneet, big movie buff, and always willing to find good people along the way.
Excellent. And just so everyone knows, it's been a pleasure having Septicore on. Thank you for giving us your time and stepping up when we needed someone to.
Absolutely.
For those who don't know, I am obsessed with Twitter, but it wasn't always that way. Septicore was actually one of the first people in the retro gaming online community I met, so me and him go way back in that sense.
Absolutely. And finally we get to work together, and it's an honor and a privilege. Excellent. Same with you, Jason, of course.
Thank you.
Well, see, we're all
Jason
friends
again. Jason and I just met, so, yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and give a random Twitter shout-out to Sam the Samurai. Spelled just like it sounds, SamThaGSamurai, Sam the Samurai. He's good for some retro gaming chat. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Nintendo_Legend. And remember to keep checking onemorecastle.com for special features updated every weekday, once or twice or three times on occasion. And
we're not here next week, are we?
Are we?
Aren't we on a break next week?
We're on a contributor break.
Oh, okay. So we're just still doing the podcast?
I assume we are. I'm
sweet.
Okay with
it. I'm in.
Cool. All right. So we'll probably still have a podcast next week because I'm available. So we'll
good thing I asked that question.
A very important question to ask, no doubt.
A very, very important. Clear your calendars.
Done.
I'll be on that note.
Yes. And by the time you listen to this, it will likely be Christmas Eve or Christmas. So Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays, and hope you got some video games under the tree and you're enjoying them as you listen. That'd be pretty cool. But last but not least, remember, listeners, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.